Where the sounds of a warm and tender touch, a breath of country air.
Hoo-ah!
Where the sounds of city lights so bright,
it's a feeling that we share.
CBC.
Hear the sounds of Western Maryland and the pride that shines so free. We sound like Cumberland. We're WCBC.
Look at the time.
Back. This is the one we call After 9. It's 9:32 this morning. So I'm in Paris a week or two ago, and I am reading the Cumberland newspaper, and I'm reading about the president of Frostburg State University and about some of the financial decisions that have been made at Frostburg State University in the last year or two. And I'm thinking to myself, and then I go to CBC's website, and I don't see much of anything either about this. And I'm thinking, why is it that there's really nothing coming back from Frostburg State University? So when I got back in town, I called the university and asked if there was any chance you might show up. And here you are.
Good to see you, Dave.
You too, sir. Good morning.
Morning.
Before we get into that, I know you've had a tough year health-wise.
Yeah.
I can relate a little, but probably not as much as you. How are you?
I'm doing well. The prognosis is good. Voice is still in and out, which is not good for radio, but we'll work through it.
It's all right. We're more interested in what you have to say.
Great.
Than what you might say, or how you say it. Prognosis is good, you say?
Yes. Very good. Got a good medical team.
Is your intent to continue in your capacity?
I'm back. I'm back full-time right now.
When did you come back?
About a month ago.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm back.
So things are back to normal?
Well, the new normal.
What's that mean?
Higher education, Dave. It's going through a real change as an industry. The pressures on higher education across the country, I mean, you know, you're familiar with what WVU went through a year ago. You know, we've had two schools in our conference, our athletic conference, that have closed in the last year, both private schools, Alderson Broaddus and Notre Dame College in Ohio. So everybody is feeling a little bit of a strain coming out of the pandemic.
For those of you that don't know, I've known Ron since, I guess, the day he got here almost, so I'm tempted to call you Ron. May I call you Ron?
Oh, yeah, fine.
Did you do something, or did the university do something to cause the newspaper to put you in their sights, if you will, their rifle sight?
No, I think they were just reporting the news. It is, you know, we're facing some budget challenges, and like many other schools, especially rural higher ed schools, rural community institutions are facing it. And, I think it was, quite honestly, okay reporting of this situation that we're in.
Okay.
But we have a plan to get out of it.
Did you or your administration do something to absolutely piss off the rest of the university, at least in terms of profs?
I think everybody is just anxious about where we are, and there's a lot of emotions on campus. Votes of no confidence are becoming very frequent for presidents these days.
Yeah, I never remember one up at your place, though.
No, this is the first one, I think, at Frostburg in its history.
How'd that hit you? What does that say to you?
It's troubling. I mean, but I've met with the faculty, senate leadership, and you know, my commitment is to move forward. We've discussed it with the university system, the board of regents, and they're supportive of what we're trying to do at Frostburg State. And you know, I've given my last, I guess it is 8 years now, to Frostburg State University, and I love the institution, I love this community, and I want to make sure that we get through the budget challenges that we're facing.
All right, let's talk about those challenges. I've said on more than one occasion on this show that I did not really ever hear what you all thought were the problems, but more importantly, what you were going to do about them. Can you tell me?
Sure. Dave, what happened was, coming out of COVID, we didn't see the rebound in enrollments that we had anticipated. We expected a short-term loss with enrollments. I will say, the last 2 years, our enrollments are up. They're up, which is good. We're up this year.
Yeah, I have a story that we ran back on the 26th of September that said, you're up 2 years in a row, over 4,000 students enrolled, highest number since 21, more Western Maryland students attending FSU, and they recognize the value of the university.
Yeah, and David, what's happened, though, is 60% of our budget is personnel, and we have not been able to keep up the tuition increases, and I understand the tuition increases on families, keeping it as small as possible, but we haven't been able to keep up with the personnel costs for the university. What I mean by that is that the state has given some pretty good raises over the last several years, but has not funded them entirely. And they're expecting us to cover it out of our tuition. Mm-hmm. And that puts a strain on the university when our numbers weren't where we wanted them to be moving forward.
Isn't that what they call unfunded mandates?
Unfunded mandates, the term. Yep.
Is this why they give you a vote of no confidence?
I think there's just a lot of things that are of concern to the faculty right now. And, you know, we're working through it. I'm meeting with them and talking with them as we move through it. But I'm sure that was part of it, and that, you know, they wish, what I've heard from several is that they wish we had anticipated some of these things. But we've been doing cuts for several years and have tried to protect the faculty side as much as possible, because it's the heart of the university as far as the teaching for our students. And we've got to the point where, again, we just got another budget cut second week of July from the state for this year's budget. Oh. And it's on top of everything else that we get these unfunded mandates and then budget cuts that makes it difficult for us to hit our target and have a balanced budget. So what we've been doing, quite frankly, is working with the system, University System of Maryland, to come up with a budget plan that will, in fact, turn things around this year. So it's a pretty ambitious plan. We're executing it. The Board of Regents are supportive for it. But as you know, one of the main drivers of this is going to be reducing the number of tenured and tenure track faculty that we have at the university.
I don't want to dwell on this no vote or this no confidence vote, but I think the number, if my memory is right, was over 80%.
Right.
Is that troubling, or is that unusual?
It's troubling. It's 80% of the people who voted. Not everybody voted in that number. And I took to heart the stuff that they've presented. You know, I've been meeting regularly with the Faculty Senate leadership, because we've got to find a way to move forward rather than look backwards.
I never saw in any of the reporting any specificity about the no vote confidence. They did make a remark, I think, something to the effect that it wasn't predicated on any one decision or any one issue. So what was it?
It was a lot of what I hear is transparency, communication. There was concerns about athletics and understanding the athletic budget. And also the question, I think, is why did we wait so long to make this decision? And in fact, the decision we made to reduce the number of faculty moving forward. And by the way, no one is losing their job as far as tenured faculty. this year. They got at least a year, and we're hoping that as enrollment increases, we'll be able to scale that back a little bit in terms of its impact. But what we're facing, quite honestly, David, is we have too many small classes right now, and we've been running classes that normally a faculty member should be teaching. We want to get them to be teaching approximately about 160 students a year. And right now that number is about 130. So we need to increase the class sizes. We have no plans to eliminate any majors, no plans to eliminate any departments.
You know, this is not a whole lot different than private enterprise. If in my business I had an employee that I expected to do A, B, C, D, and E, and they were only accomplishing A, B, and C, I'd eventually point it out. It's not a whole lot different, is it?
You're right. I mean, at the end of the day, people want to get paychecks, and, you know, it's important that we do what we can for our students. We've been trying to protect our students as much as we possibly could through this whole process, and I think we've done a pretty good job of it.
Who is the faculty senate? What does that mean to the average guy? Who are they?
Well, it's unusual. In higher education, we have a term that's called shared governance. And that means staff, faculty, and students get input into decisions that are made. The Senate is an elected body consisted of about, I think it's somewhere between 20 and 30 faculty at the university. But I will point out that this was a vote of the entire faculty conducted by the faculty senate. So it just wasn't the faculty senate in this decision making.
All right. So from a monetary standpoint, unfunded mandates, and that causes a structural deficit. So going forward affects the structural deficit, which is an awful lot like what you hear from the state of Maryland all the time. They have a structural deficit. I think I've heard that for the last 10 years, except for four of them.
Yep.
Going forward, do you have more than 1 year to fix it?
Yeah, we do. We have a three-year plan to do it. And in fact, the University System of Maryland has helped us on a number of areas to bridge that gap. As I told you, faculty won't lose. We can't cut personnel this year in terms of reducing the number of people we have. And by the way, we've been reducing staff for the last 5 or 6 years. We have over 100 unfilled positions of staff that we need. We're running very lean at the university. It's just that we tried to protect the faculty lines as much as we could, but we reached a point where we couldn't do it any longer because of the unfunded mandates.
Ron, here might be the most difficult question of the morning. The rest of the state, are the rest of the institutions having difficulties like this?
There are some schools, yes, that are. The system, when we met with the Board of Regents, they said we were doing what they expected us to do, and they don't think we're the last school that's going to have to face this challenge. As I said, it's something that's going across the nation. You're seeing, Western Illinois is another school similar in size to us that's eliminating a number of actually programs and faculty. It's going to take a while for it to shake out. What's happening is there's fewer high school graduates coming out. The 2008 recession, people didn't have babies. And 17, 18 years later, we're seeing a reduction in the number of students available graduating from high school. Plus, they're also staying closer to home. And that's hitting us as well, because as you know, we attract a number of students from the populous parts of Maryland. We get our fair share of Allegheny and Garrett. And by the way, one of the things I want to put a shout out to is Allegheny County Schools and Garrett County Schools. We have a dual enrollment program now. We have seniors that are high school seniors attending Frostburg as regular students. So they're getting a leg up on their college education.
Yeah, I always said that I wish that had been available when I was in school, but I was back with the log cabin and those kinds of things. All right, so we talk structural deficit. Right. Talk to me about the difficulty that the university had with the auditors. What's that about? I think the number was 700K.
Yeah, we disagreed with the auditors, and we've described that to the University System of Maryland as well. We went to a new software package for financial aid about 2 years ago, and when we went to it, the software didn't do what we wanted it to do, and we were working with our vendor, and so what we did is we went back to the old software. We instituted the old software back. The auditors have taken the position that we wasted some money in doing it. We didn't. We had a contract. We implemented it. We used it. We just found it wasn't working for us. It's actually being used at a couple of other schools in the system as well. And everybody is facing some challenges with it. But it's brand new software. So we basically opposed or disagreed with the auditor's view on the software itself. And we do not view it as, and we're disappointed that they didn't include in there that the money, quote, wasn't wasted. It was, we used it, we had a contract. When the contract expired, we went back to the software that we were using prior. The problem, David, with it, at least my sense of it, is the software was doing things we didn't want it to do for us. It's almost like I would characterize as artificial intelligence, making some decisions that I would rather have left to people. And so we've gone back to that model.
I want to be careful here because I'm in a little bit of a tough spot, but I wanted to try to share with the audience what you're sharing in this regard. My wife worked for the state of Maryland for a long time. So she was privy to a number of pieces of software that the state purchased and implemented. And I have pointed out that not only in her area, but in other areas that I'm aware of, the purchase of software has been a dismal failure. And it's almost like, and this was just my take coming away by eavesdropping a little bit, that they're more interested in trying to cover up what's not working as opposed to fixing what's working. I'm not suggesting for a moment that the two are comparable, but I hear about it a lot.
Well, this was new software, and quite honestly, it may work for some schools, but the way we were awarding financial aid and the staffing we had, it wasn't working for us. And so we made the decision to go back to what we had. It's a matter of disagreement with the auditors, as far as we believe we followed the process as far as, we wasn't wasting the money that we were doing.
The most damning remark, I thought, came from a legislative auditor named Tanine, who said the lack of due diligence in the selection of the software and related vendors is significant because FSU discontinued using the system. What say you?
What we did is we were working with something that was compatible with our overall system, and we were limited in what was available. And, in fact, the software package we went with was, in fact, one that was compatible with our... We use a program called PeopleSoft, and that handles all of the student records. We needed something that was compatible with our student records as well as our financial operations. This was the program that they recommended to us, and that's the one we went with.
Two more, if I might. Moving forward, especially with health issues like you've had, has there been a point where you've said to yourself, oh, the hell with it, I'm going to retire and just enjoy Phillies baseball?
Phillies baseball. You don't want to talk Eagles football, I guess.
No, not right now.
No, not right now. No, again, David, I'm committed to this school. I want to make sure we get through it. I'm afraid that if I'm not here, someone else would be in who doesn't know the institution. And while I've only been here 8 years, which, by the way, is longer than the tenure of most university presidents. Now it's under 6 years that a president's last at institutions. But I'm committed to trying to help the institution and the community. We're doing a lot right now with, you know, the Outdoor Recreation Economy Institute. A lot of things we're doing that I think are really positive moving forward. David Trone was on campus last Saturday for $1 million gift to us, or earmark, to help us with our planetarium upgrades. So, you know, there's a commitment on my part to the community. So as long as I'm feeling up to the job, I'm going to stay with it.
Looking back over the last year or two or three since COVID, is there anything you would have done differently, having had the benefit of that perspective?
I think what we could have done differently is probably started making some of the changes that we're trying to implement this year, starting them a few years earlier. We really worked hard hoping that we could save as many of these positions as we could for the faculty moving forward. And the other thing, by the way, I want to mention is that we're reorganizing a lot of the administration. We're eliminating two vice president's positions. So we're going to be very lean. We're going to have three vice presidents, which is going to be the smallest in the system. And we also have made some operational changes. But we have tried to do the best we could to protect, I would say, the academic mission of the university. And given where we are now, if we didn't take this action, a year from now, we might be eliminating majors. We might be eliminating departments. And I don't want to get to that point. I think working with the system, we can do it now.
If you had been doing this interview with the president of Frostburg State, would you have asked anything that I have not?
No, I think you've asked the right questions.
We're good?
Yep. I thank you for your time.
Next time this happens, Ron, call me and you'll get on sooner.
Okay.
as opposed to me phoning it in from Paris. I'm glad you're healthy.
Thank you.
You look well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Come back anytime.
Thanks, David.
Thanks,
appreciate
Ron.
It. Thanks.